I'm SP from Better Podcasting, a show dedicated to help make your podcast better, and it is part of the Get a Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other insightful and wonderful geeky shows at GetAGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where usually when I have Alan Dunford here, we're talking about something magical. But today, we're talking about something a little bit more scary goal. Because that's the word I'm going to use to describe it today. Because I have Alan Dunford and Will Radford here to talk about their charming little wonderful have out on your coffee table for everybody to read comic, Grandma Chainsaw. Alan and Will, how are you guys today?
Oh, we are great, and that's probably a new selling point for Grandma Chainsaw, I think.
Yeah, no, I like it.
I think everybody should have a copy of this just out where everybody can see. Don't say anything about what it is, and just see what happens.
Well, the title speaks for itself. Yeah, you know, mostly.
Unfortunately, having a very cryptic thing like that is not a good way to sell comics. So, Will, what is your guys' elevator pitch right now for Grandma Chainsaw?
So I would say that the elevator pitch is that it is Evil Dead meets... Oh boy, I'm already botching this. Give me some... It's Evil Dead meets Driving Miss Daisy. That's the elevator.
That's brilliant.
And you just came up with that one right now?
Yeah, that was off the fly. But I'm sure that I can think of a better elevator pitch than that. Or maybe something better to compare it to besides Driving Miss Daisy. But I kind of like Driving Miss Daisy, so we'll leave it with that for now.
And how long have you guys been working on this one? Because for a while I've seen you guys working on Pocus Hocus. How do you fit something else in?
This one happened pretty... a lot quicker, I think, than Pocus, in the sense that like the idea was there, and then more ideas immediately started following it, and so we really got to work writing it, I think, a lot quicker. Just because it was, you know, we'd already had the experience of writing our first comic book series and kind of knew what to do. And also, we were just so enthusiastic about doing this because, I mean, I can't speak for Alan, but I've always wanted to work on a slasher. You know, so it's kind of like a dream come true in a way.
So, Alan, you aren't saying much here. Is this just the Will show for the entire comic?
Yeah, so I was letting Will really have the stand just because every time I come on, something seems to happen with Will. I think last time I was on, Will, you were in between doing Misery and doing COVID.
COVID?
Yeah.
That's exactly
really,
what
you
happened.
You were really good at your COVID role.
Right. Yeah, I think I was better at Paul Sheldon in Misery. I played Misery on stage for the historic Fayette Theater here in West Virginia, and we were scheduled to do 3 weekends, and the second weekend I got COVID, so I wasn't able to do it. And it was just a very eventful, few weeks to say the least. Yep. So.
Okay, well, now that I am unleashed, you have brought upon your own wrath, Chris.
Well, I have one more question for Will, just so we can get this out of the way. How are your ankles feeling?
How are my ankles? They much better. Yeah, much better than they were a few weeks ago. I remember because, like, during that point in time, Alan and I, because things got busy, and I also had COVID, so needless to say, there were, you know, a couple days we couldn't really meet to work on writing. And, back when things got up and running again, and he actually, came and watched Misery, he sent me a text later that said, now let's get back to writing or I'll do what Annie did to you in Misery. So
this is true.
Yes.
So is this another giant collaborative work from you guys?
Yeah. I think that like Will said, Grandma Chainsaw was it's weird how Pocus started and Grandma Chainsaw, because both of the origins are kind of similar in a way. The ideas were approached Will with an idea for a short. And Grandma Chainsaw was actually supposed to be a short. I think it was, Will, what was the original title? I think it was Grandma Buzzsaw or Mama Buzzsaw. It was something like that.
I think it was Mama Chainsaw.
Okay. Well, naturally, Grandma Chainsaw, we feel like, just flows better. But it was just going to be about this creepy lady in her dungeon basement just hacking someone up and then coming upstairs to feed her family in this suburban neighborhood. And that was the first idea, and we thought it was really funny. But then the more we thought about it, and whenever I talked to Will, I said, hey, I think I might have an idea for a slasher series. And I think I didn't even get the whole sentence out before Will said, I don't care, let's do it.
Yeah, I was pretty enthusiastic from the very beginning, like from the first minute that he brought up the idea.
This has been very therapeutic for us. And it's actually helped us be more creative with Pocus. Because we were able to take a step back from Pocus, because it's funny, we already have written out the beats for the next arc of Pocus. But after we finally got a chance to just step away from the project for a second, work on some other stuff, we've already changed around, like, how the beginning's going to start, and we're happier for that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, being able to do it allowed us to step away from Pocus and then come back and look at it a little bit more objectively, I think, because we just lived in that world for quite a while, for a year, you know. So
and then this has been this is kind of like a I don't know, man, it's so much fun. Granted, we cracked ourselves up writing Pocus, but writing this might be some of the funniest stuff we've ever written, especially once you guys get to issue 2 of Grandma Chainsaw.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So how much arm twisting did you have to do to sucker other people into working on this one with you?
I think this one was, they didn't even hesitate. I was actually kind of, I was wary about asking them because I thought it was such a high concept that I didn't know if this was something that they wanted to do. But immediately they said yes, because especially looking at Brian's drawings, he does have a very strong horror influence, and he was right up there with Will for saying yes. And Jason's always a good sport and up for anything too, from a coloring standpoint. And the work that these guys have already done, you got a chance to see the Ash Can, which is the first 8-page preview. The team has really done such a good job of making it look so different from Pocus.
Yeah, I think that, I think that we lucked out in a variety of ways with our team, because they could do just about anything. But this was really a fortunate pairing, in the sense that these guys really seem to specialize in exactly what we want to do, just in terms of, like, you know, dark comedy, horror, monsters, that kind of thing. And the team, I mean, we knew from like minute one that we wanted to keep the same team that we had to Pocus.
Yeah, we are definitely under the mentality of if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And we like working with these guys so much, and they just get us. Yeah. So it's like we said before, with POCUS, issue one was just everyone kind of filling themselves out and seeing what works, what doesn't. Everyone's kind of writing style, artistic style, coloring style, lettering style. But now I feel like, and I mean this in the best possible way, but it's like everyone's on autopilot, but also challenging themselves.
I mean, it makes sense. You guys don't have to figure out what anybody else is going to do because you've been working with everybody for so long.
Yep. Yeah, very grateful for these guys.
But along with that, what new challenges have come up that's making this one different from working on Pocus Hocus?
So Pocus Hocus was definitely more... Pocus Hocus was challenging from a sense of world building. And what are our rules, limitations? Because, Will, I think you can agree with this. We didn't expect Pocus Hocus's world probably to expand the way that it has. And the different realms and zones that we're heading to, and just all these wild characters. But Grandma Chainsaw was, we actually kind of said this, you know, it's a challenge from a sense of how can we make creepy horror, but also still make it fun? How can we write this character that is so evil and malicious, but everyone loves her? How can we do this, this, or this, and how can we top ourselves here? But really, the challenge was, how do we give life to these characters in a comic book setting where we have so many people on screen at one time? I think that was the big challenge for me, to make sure that we still focused on what we did, which I feel like character development is something we're really strong at, especially Will. Without Will, I don't think any of these characters would have half the life that they do.
Well, thank you, Alan. But I also want to say, to kind of add on to that, I would argue that Pocus Hocus is more challenging to write for me personally, just because of the like the consistency of the world slash worlds in that series, and just having to be aware of that. It's also great fun, you know. I mean, we have a lot of fun writing it. But that's one of those projects where, like, the even though the sense of humor is there in the comics, as the series goes along further and further, it gets, I don't want to say more serious per se, but more elaborate with the story that it's telling. Grandma Chainsaw, is different in the sense that we kind of just, like, instinctively know this stuff. It was kind of like something that was just waiting to get out, I think. But one thing that I will say, if I had to name a challenge with it, is the challenge, I think, to just get it right, in the sense that, you know, we want to make sure that it is appropriate for the genre, that it fits well within the genre, that the things that we are referencing in previous films and comics and literature and all that are clear and, you know, presented well for the readers. And I think that's the, you know, that is the big challenge in just writing a slasher, that if you're never going to do something original in this genre anymore, by the strictest term of the word original, you're just not. But you can do things that are innovative and fun and feel fresh in ways that people aren't used to seeing as much. So we've really tried to keep it. I mean, it hasn't been that hard. It hasn't been that much of a challenge because it's kind of just the way we think, you know, anyway. But we have been wanted to make sure to keep it, you know, to honor the genre and make sure that it fits well within that and to get it right, so to speak.
Yeah, and something we talked about very early was it was worrisome because we're going something from fantastical like Pocus to something that is maniacal like Grandma Chainsaw. Yeah. And it's such a different path that we were afraid that, you know, the fans of Pocus Hocus may not like Grandma Chainsaw. And that's totally fine. You know, not everyone has to, you know, like slasher horror just because we did it, you know? But we also wanted to incorporate what we thought made Pocus fun, and that was the dark comedy elements, the characters and the life that we give to them. So that was something that we tried to marry and really mirror from POCUS to try to give this thing its own fresh life like we did with POCUS.
So just from talking to people, like random people I don't know, me, those Capes on the Couch guys, how much of this POCUS Hocus audience do you think is going to follow over to Grandma Chainsaw?
That I don't know, right? Because everyone that we've shown it to immediately is, what is this? I have to know more. And anyone that's read the Ashcan has been very on board.
I'd say probably a pretty big chunk of the audience will be interested in this. What I'm interested to see is who we get with Grandma Chainsaw that we didn't have with POCUS, because they're identifying it as a slasher horror, specifically like this genre. You know what I mean? Like something that they hear the title or they see the you know, pages and it's like, oh, okay, this is like they make the Evil Dead connection or something, like, you know, right away.
Yeah, no, Will, that's a really good point, because Grandma Chainsaw is definitely going to bring in a whole different audience, and yeah, maybe it might shine more light on POCUS too. You know, we yeah, might be really fortunate in that respect.
Yeah, we're hoping so.
And with this audience coming over, at no matter what level it is, you've already kind of set the expectation by having Horace be kind of a surprise fan favorite character. Can you try to put somebody like that in here? Or is that something that just has to come naturally?
I think we already did, right? I think Hazel is going to be a big hit. just the character itself, I really do. I think that she is, I think she's awesome. And the life that we bring to her, especially with all the plans that we have in the future with her, as far as the series is concerned, I think Hazel out the gate will be a fan favorite, and I think people will be excited to see her on screen and just see what kind of crazy stuff we come up with.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think Hazel's a very memorable character, so I would agree with all of that. I have a really bad meter for this stuff. Because I think early on, even when we were talking about Horace, Alan sort of knew ahead of time that this would be a fan favorite thing earlier than I did. I always liked Horace, and I always had fun writing Horace, but for whatever reason, I think when we first started doing that with this character, I didn't make the connection right away that this was like a mascot for the series. So having said that, I'm not entirely sure. I think that I'm interested to see after like issue one comes out and what the reactions are. If there's a character in there somewhere maybe that we didn't, you know, peg as a fan favorite that ends up becoming a fan favorite, because this one is very, very different with to characters. It's like Alan mentioned earlier, I'm you know, it's different for me in the sense that we're writing a lot of characters in the same space at the same time, so you know, there's a lot there to juggle, and there are like a million different personality types on display here, so that's why I'm saying that you know, after the first issue it'll be interesting to see if there are any characters that emerge as fan favorites that we didn't expect.
Yeah, so what I will do to add to that, and obviously we don't want to reveal anything, because we think that how issue one ends is going to be one of those, crap, now I have to see what happens. I think we might have a character that people really like at the end of issue one.
Yeah.
And Will, I think you know who I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, no, I do. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, well, there you go. That's an exact. Because I mean, right now, again, this is still in the Will and Alan world. Aside from the Ashcan, it hasn't really gone out to the readers yet to see, you know, how they're going to react to it. So I mean, it's still that level of objectivity, I guess, hasn't been introduced into the equation yet. But yeah, that would be a good example, Alan. The character that you are referring to would definitely fit that description. Like I said, I have a bad meter for this stuff. It's like I just write them, or, you know, write them with Alan as characters, and I have a terrible meter for, like, oh, this will end up, this will be the fan favorite, or this will be, you know, so.
So, Mr. Alan, I'm going to get Chris excited for characters he hasn't seen yet. Dunford. How much chainsaw experience do you have in your personal life?
Legal or illegal?
I'm leaving that one up to you.
Yeah. Illegal, none. At all. Never once. Legal, barely any. Like, I've used, obviously, as a kid, you know, it was cool to have one help, like, my grandpa, like, cut down a tree, stuff like that. But other than that, that's, I don't really have a use for a chainsaw on a daily basis. Will, do you have any use for a chainsaw?
Well, I have seen the first two Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies many times. So I feel like I've gotten the experience indirectly. I don't think I've ever started up a chainsaw. I don't think I've ever used a chainsaw in any scenario. I've chopped a tree with an axe, but I don't think I've used a chainsaw. Like, you know, legitimately. We did hack up Mike in that one trailer for Focus.
We did do that, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't have the budget to do that, but we referenced it, you know, off screen.
So are you worried about people trying to call you out on an inauthentic chainsaw experience since you guys haven't had the experience of really using a chainsaw?
No, well, this one will be fine. They'll forgive us, I think.
I think we're sick and twisted enough to where it'll be. Yeah, I think it'll get a pass. It's like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas when they made that movie. Terry Gilliam had never done acid before. Or I feel like I had heard that in an interview. Like, he'd never done acid, but they were like, no, this guy, he's unique enough to where he can figure it out, you know. So.
And also, how do your grandmas feel about this depiction of grandmas?
Well, so I was raised with my grandparents, and believe it or not, I actually have a really soft spot for the geriatric population. No, so my grandma is so excited, and she thinks this is so funny. My grandma gets me, which I don't know if that speaks to her mental stability or not, but she's always been there rooting me on. We actually named Hazel after my great-grandma, so my grandma's mother.
Yeah. Well, to offer a more a opposing tone to that, I guess, my grandparents have passed, but if they were still alive, I imagine that they would probably hate this comic book, which is how I know that, you know, that's okay, you know, slashers aren't for everybody, but that's how I know that we're doing it right, you know. It's like I look at it and be like, okay, well, would grandparents, you know, would more, you know, conservative grandparents hate this comic book? But I think the answer would be yes, and in that scenario, you know, I think we're doing it right, so.
Well, I'm glad that you have such a nice, steady barometer for what you're doing. I mean, just flipping through this ash can again, this thing is amazing.
Aw.
How come you couldn't accidentally send me the entire first issue that I'm sure isn't completed yet?
Man, you want to know something wild? This thing is moving so fast. We are only 10 pages away from completion. So by the time we go to launch, I think we're only going to have maybe like 6 pages left. So then when the campaign ends, like Pocus 4, we'll be able to send it out. I think we sent Pocus 4 out either like 4 days after the campaign ended, because obviously we wanted to give people their payment time to go through, and we wanted to proofread it 300 times before we sent it out to make sure everything was good. But yeah, so this one is it's almost done. And the page, the last page that I sent to Will that was inked, kind of blew us away for what Brian has done. And it just really sets the tone for what we're going for. And like, if you like it now, I cannot wait for you to keep reading.
no kidding. Yeah, it gets, it's, you know, nowhere to go but up. <It's> like, I mean, if you like the ash can, you know, the ash can, the first few pages, that's like just a drop in the bucket. So
that's our boring stuff, right? That's the right. These are our characters. We want to always spend time on characters and introduce them, whether that's people's speed or not. But that's, for us, that's how we get fulfillment out of writing, to make sure that we try to get characters that people care about. Because a lot of times what you see in horror, we don't want to rush to the kill, right? We don't want to rush to the action. We don't want a character to get killed off or what have you. And then the audience is supposed to care, but they don't. So that's why we really try to take our time. And the next scene coming up, and Will, I think we're safe to kind of give a spoiler for it. It's a dinner scene. And that really shows the character dynamics with that, and how Hazel interacts with her new guest, we'll say.
Yeah, it's our dead alive dinner scene. Although I don't know if I should call it the dead alive dinner scene, because I mean, like, with a movie that's as extreme as like Dead Alive, you know, I mean, you're talking, you know, pretty. I mean, those are big shoes to fill. But I think that scene was that sequence was pretty heavily influenced by Dead Alive.
Well, you're the one saying it, so if it doesn't come off as well as that, it's all your fault.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It very much was.
And how is putting the Kickstarter for this one together been different from what you guys did for Pocus?
Everything's a learning experience, right? So we found out what has worked with Focus and what hasn't, and then really brought that over to Grandma Chainsaw. This one, we were able to, I'm looking at it right now, and it's funny to me because with Focus, we kind of played it safe for a lot of stuff because we didn't want to go too crazy with how we name things or how we played around with different titles and stuff. But grandmas are kind of universal, right? Whether you have to interact with an older population or whether you live with them, you know, just anything. You work in retail, you know what they're like. You know, you work at a restaurant, you know what to kind of expect when you work with an older population. You know, I work in the healthcare field. Yeah, I know what to expect. Raised my grandparents. I know what to expect. So it's funny, though, that we can really draw from these experiences. And, you know, we have the story section on here. And then we put like a little speech bubble over Hazel that says, "Hello, grandkitties, come closer and hear my story if you dare." Like, it's just, we get to really play around with it, you know?
Yeah, I think that. That's a big thing I've learned about Kickstarter campaigns and, you know, the Kickstarter in general, is that each campaign has to have its own, like, personality, you know, and so I guess for this one, it's a matter of having a personality there to the Kickstarter that's similar enough to Pocus to where it's like, oh, okay, this is very much appropriate for these guys. But also being different enough so that it's like, we don't want it to be defined by Pocus Hocus. You know what I mean? We want it to be its own thing.
So, Will, you said it perfect there, man. We always want to create a brand for ourselves and an expectation. I think the number one thing we pride ourselves on is quality. Whether that be, you know, how you ever want to view quality, we try to exceed that. So whether that be with the content that you're getting, or the actual physical item, because we never like to try to let anything slip through the cracks. The thing with it too is we always want to create a Kickstarter to where it's kind of an a la carte system. We never want anyone to feel like they're being strong-armed into getting anything. So that's why everything you see is going to have an add-on part with it, which we think is always very important for the reader, new and old. Like, of course, we have our mega bundles where we just put everything together so that way you get everything at a discounted rate. But if you don't want it, you don't want it. And it allows us to introduce fun things that people can pick up at any, like, physical tier, right? So we have on this one a Grandma Chainsaw apron. You can add on an apron, and it's funny. You know, it's just a branded thing. But I think my favorite thing that you can add on or back as its own tier is probably the T-shirt. We really play off of that one. It looks like a crocheted pattern, and it just says "Eat, Slay, Love."
Now, just in theory, yeah. If I know somebody else who wants this shirt, am I going to be able to get two of them?
Yes, you can add on any number that you want.
Good. Because if I don't, she'll steal mine. You guys get two guesses on who it is.
The cat.
Yes, actually one of them would steal it if I leave it on the bathroom counter.
Yeah.
Because clothes on the bathroom counter are cat beds.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, that's my house is a cat bed. So, but yeah, no. I feel like that's the kind of stuff that we like to try to do, right? You can add on any number of whatever you want to get, again, so you don't have to back, like the double T-shirt tier. You know, you don't have to do any of that. You can just literally back the book and add on two T-shirts, you're done.
Right.
Whose idea was it to put pockets on the apron?
That was actually, so the guy that prints all of our T-shirts, his name's Boski, and he's a good friend of mine from home, and he just had an apron design that he wanted to do, and he thought it would be hilarious to put it with it, and we did, and we have pockets, and it's machine washable.
Honestly, I don't know which one of those things is more important, because they're both very important.
Yeah, it's true. It's the whole deal, the whole package.
The ability to get what you want, I think, is a lot of why I've had some success kind of throwing your guys' stuff in front of people. Because no matter what, you know, they've been able to get caught up on the story if they wanted to, or could get the cool thing that they wanted but didn't have to get everything else to go with it. And I think just the way that you guys are setting this up is brilliant.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. We appreciate that. It lets us know we're definitely on the right track.
So for our listeners here, when should they have already decided that they want to get this and pledge their money to you so that they can have your stuff?
So initially, we thought we were going to be a little bit further behind in production than what we are. But I say this jokingly, but I think it's just something fresh and exciting. But it seems like the team is really excited for this one, and they are just blazing through it.
Morale is high.
Yes, morale is high. So initially, we were afraid we weren't going to be able to launch until like the last week of September or beginning of October. I would honestly feel comfortable to launch tomorrow. But I feel like a good window for us would probably be we're aiming for September the 13th or September the 20th. The reason why we're juggling between those two dates for right now, and this is kind of a spoiler coming out for another campaign, it's called Roseblood Manor. Will and I got asked by Bad Bug to do a story for their horror anthology, and it's going to be launching at the beginning of October, and we are going to be collaborating and having something special if you back both campaigns at a physical tier. So we really want to give the reader enough time to back both if they want to. So we're trying to plan the launch around there. So the story that we have titled is called The Wandering Man, and we will leave it there. And it is with the Pocus Hocus team, so you'll get Brian Belando, Jason Smith, and Dave Lentz on it.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Did you have to pick your brain off the floor really quick?
No, I was thinking, do I want to tell you this thing that I'm writing down or not? And so I think I'm going to. I think that either one of those dates is a good choice, because for my birthday on the 18th, either it's about to start, or hey, look, you guys can go throw money at this comic right now.
Okay, perfect. All right, we'll do that then. So we'll still keep strong on the dates for the 13th or the 20th.
Plus, that keeps it on New Comic Book Day. No, it doesn't. Oh, yeah, that's not how math works.
Oh, is it not?
No, the 20th.
Math can be whatever you want it to be.
Math is like time. It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, I think those would be Tuesdays. Those are still good days.
Mm-hmm. We try to look at the algorithms for the Kickstarters and stuff like that. The best days to launch are Tuesdays and Thursdays. So saith the Kickstarter gods, right? Those are supposed to be the best days to launch, so we always try to stick with that. I don't know how factual that is.
I mean, if it's worked for you so far, and I have to imagine it has, why mess with it and tempt fate?
Yeah. Right? It's okay, it's so tougher. Yeah, we'll just stick with Tuesdays. Yeah.
I am definitely going to be getting this. It's just a question of what do I get to go with it? Because normally...
Yeah, you've had a chance really get the sneak peek. So you get to see all the crazy stuff, like the black light metal cover that we have.
Stop making this harder for me. I also like seeing your little bit of a script thing on here, so I can compare it to what I have written up for my thing.
Will. Listen, Will's writing how Will writes everything like a screenplay is just genius. So whenever we read this thing, it reads like a play or a movie script. So that's kind of how we break everything up.
It's the only way I know how to write. So, like, I mean, if I write a term paper or an essay, it just looks like something Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia would do. Like,
see, and that's where I come in. So we really help each other out with that.
Right?
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So inevitably, when this does get picked up for some to be determined size screen, you'll be ready.
It's already done. We've already done the legwork.
Yeah, I would love that. And I think that this would be a good fit for a variety of different streaming platforms. But that would be a dream come true.
So it has been great talking to y'all about this. I am so excited. I hope so everybody else is excited about it. But Will, we have a question for you that I ask everybody.
It's time, Will. This is your inductee question.
The last time that this happened to me, I gave a really depressing answer. I brought down the whole interview. It was a complete... Do you know what I'm talking about, Alan?
I remember. It was an interview you did for Pocus Hocus 1 on a podcast by yourself. And at that point, you were never allowed to go back on podcasts alone ever again.
Right. I'll get to that later. But
I'm not sure if it's possible for you to give that kind of answer for this question.
Okay. Well, that's so far so good.
So we have the bumpers up on the lane. Now all you need to do is not hop over. All you need to do is not hop over the bumpers.
Right. Okay. There you go. All right.
Which I have seen.
Feel a little bit less anxious. Yeah.
Who's your favorite Muppet?
Oh, my favorite Muppet. Wow. Beaker. Well, no, I like Beaker, but Gonzo. It's hard. Gonzo has more personality. You know what I mean? Like, Beaker is probably more like me. But, like, Gonzo has, I don't know. Probably Gonzo, to be honest with you. I want it to be Beaker, but probably Gonzo.
They're both great in their own special way, though. I love them.
They are, and my I have an instantaneous reaction to, if you had asked me what my favorite Muppet movie is, it's A Muppet Christmas Carol. I also think A Muppet Christmas Carol is, like, the best adaptation of A Christmas Carol ever. Like, Michael Caine, best Scrooge, they have, like, the best, Scrooge with Bill Murray is a close second, but that one's up there.
No, Mickey's Christmas Carol is second. I will fight you over that.
Is that the one with Scrooge McDuck?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a really good one.
Okay, it sounds like I've it's seen, not going to be much, like, of a fight then.
No, I that one's up there, although it's been a long time since I've seen it, so I probably do need to go back and rewatch it. And A Muppet Christmas Carol, for that matter.
And the fact that it's August and we're saying that doesn't matter, because they're both really fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I mean, preferably Christmas, just because it fits, but you can watch it any time of year. It's a good time.
Well, you watch it now, and then you watch it again at Christmas, and you're fine.
Yeah.
Alan, I had to come up with a special question for you. Because you've already answered the Muppet question. That
Alan's already it's a question for me, Will.
Yeah, it's just a question for Alan, because categorically you just cannot answer this question, Will. So yeah. Alan, weren't you wearing that sweatshirt the last time we talked?
Yeah, I did. So I wanted to make it look like I never change outfits, like I'm a cartoon character.
Do you have multiple copies of that shirt just hanging up in your closet?
No, it's just the one and I haven't washed it.
Okay, that tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a perfect way to close this out. Look who decided to join us.
Hey, Kitty.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's such a good girl. She would be safe, though, from the chainsaws, right?
Yeah.
Good, because if anything happens to a cat in this, I'm going to be very sad.
Oh, no, we can never.
Oh, and no. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. No animal harm.
Good. But it has been great talking to you guys about this. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Chaps of Fury. And like always, the best way to really stay in contact with everything, follow us on Kickstarter. We are listed under Alan and Will. And we are actually in the process of working on a Substack. So that way we can just keep the engagement going that much forward, and we won't get lost in the algorithm, because it's just going to be a direct email.
Yeah. You can find me at WillRad82 on Instagram. And if you want to check out any of my film or video work, it's Vimeo.com/WillRad.
Well, as always, I will have links to all that stuff down in the show notes, because clicking links is so much easier than trying to remember to spell things, especially when, presumably, Will is older than me, which means he's old and probably getting forgetful.
Right, yeah, definitely. I have been hard of hearing lately, because I got sick again. I got a cold. This is less than a month after COVID. And, I mean, I'm better now, but, like, just starting to get, you know, over it. But I had some stuff going on with my ear where I stopped up and I couldn't hear people. So I felt really, really, you know, odd walking around in public with people talking to me. So, I mean, yeah, I'm well on my way is what I'm trying to say. So
we'll get the wheelchair ready for you and the gas for the chainsaw.
Can you say that again? You broke up. I'm sorry.
He'll get the wheelchair ready and the gas for the chainsaw.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's something I can't believe I didn't ask you guys. How did you decide on what kind of chainsaw to use for this?
We just let Brian decide. We didn't even pick. We just told Brian Granny wanted a chainsaw.
Yeah. I would say it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre inspired, if I had to guess. Knowing Brian, but also I think that the answer to that question might be kind of a spoiler, so keep that on the down low. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
As always, if you want to hear more from me, you should head on over to playcomics.com, where there's links to all the social media stuff. Mostly I'm hanging out on Twitter, though, because I can throw a wrench into society over there, where you can find me at Play Comics Cast. Comic stuff, video game stuff, and other societal things that are important enough for me to interrupt those other important, very important subjects. Also shitposts, because those are fun. If you want to help support the show, you can head on over to Patreon, because that's what Patreon is set up for, or Ko-fi, coffee, I don't know, the one that starts with a K, and then is followed by O-F-I. Or just find somebody that you think will like the show, place it close to their ear holes, but not in their ear holes. Let them finish that part out, because putting something into someone's ear holes without their knowledge is not a polite thing to do, and we live in a society, and part of that social construct means that you just have to follow the rules of politeness. I'm sorry, sometimes I don't like it either, but it's what we have to do. Don't forget that Play Comics is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to a bunch of other wonderfully geeky shows, like Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where I get to go run my mouth about Marvel things, and then not have to edit. And pretty soon, SP is going to make me edit one of these, because I keep rubbing it in his face that I don't have to edit. Also, newly announced show, that's not a new show, but is new to the network, Capes on the Couch. We've had Anthony on the show here. We may or may not have Doc on the show in the future. Keep listening to find out. Yeah, you know what's going to happen. I'm not going to bring that up if it's not happening. But they're part of the Gunna Geek Network now. We're growing. It's going to be fun. If you like the music that I'm rudely talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics. If you hear a chainsaw, go run and hide screaming under your bed. But while you're under there, find yourself a new favorite character. Can I leave that in?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.